Good afternoon and welcome. I'm Grace Gallucci, Chair of Vibrant NEO and Executive Director and CEO of the Northeast Ohio Area-Wide Coordinated Agency, otherwise known as NOACA. It's an honor and a privilege to lead these two organizations that have aligning missions for a vibrant, resilient, and sustainable community and working together to achieve that goal. In fact, working together is so important for us at NOACA that the first tenet in our vision statement is strengthening regional cohesion. So I'm really excited to hear today what our panelists have to say on that subject. Thank you all for joining us in what will surely be an informative discussion on regional collaboration with some of our most distinguished elected officials in Northeast Ohio. As we present this panel today, titled Now More Than Ever, Regional Collaboration During COVID and Beyond. As you know, throughout this pandemic, our public officials have not had a reprieve from delivering services and keeping their communities engaged, including having to shift to provide virtual services and other adaptations for developing inclusive community planning. I'd like to thank the Vibrant NEO Special Projects Committee, led by co-chairs Jennifer Brown and Howard Rabb, for bringing this event to us. I'm going to turn it over to them now to tell you more about the Vibrant NEO speakers and our great lineup today. Thank you again for being here, and I leave this to Jennifer and Howard to share with us the ideas of how we can all collaborate together to help realize the goals of a vibrant, sustainable, and equitable Northeast Ohio.
Thank you, Grace. My name is Howard Rapp, and I am, as you know, Vibrant NEO was created in from 2010 to 2014 in the wake of the Great Recession. Public, private, and nonprofit officials, as well as thousands of residents from 12 counties, all came together to develop shared goals and a path to them for Northeast Ohio. We're proud to say that in 2015, the American Planning Association awarded Vibrant NEO its highest award for the best comprehensive plan in the country. A lot of hard work went into creating this plan to make Northeast Ohio a better place for everyone to live. Vibrant NEO's fiscal impact analysis showed that investments made today have impacts that last decades. In fact, the trend as of 2010 was that all 12 counties in Northeast Ohio would have expenses that exceed revenues by 2040. If that were to happen, governments across the region would have to implement painful cuts to services and amenities and sharply raise taxes. Either of these options will hurt all residents and discourage economic development. So we're here today to learn how governments are collaborating now to avoid this outcome. Our panelists, mayors, safety directors, city managers will tell you about some of the best practices they've already implemented and how they're collaborating to save their communities money while improving quality of life. Vibrant NEO recognized that we have to do things differently, and that often means doing more with less. The coronavirus pandemic of the past year has made that even more relevant today, with its impacts to human health, jobs, the economy, and government budgets. We're truly all in this together. During this pandemic, we thought it would be a great time to check in with communities in our region to make sure they're making the most of their resources and working together when they can. One of the four most important themes identified by the Vibrant NEO stakeholders, it's all of you, is promoting collaboration and efficiency. Okay, that's what it says, promoting collaboration and efficiency. And that's what we wanted to focus on today. By promoting collaboration and efficiency, we can best work together to solve shared problems and grow an inclusive and prosperous region. Our hope is that some of you will walk away from this program with an idea or two that might help your own communities collaborate to work together with other communities to minimize costs and improve services. Before I move on, I wanted to acknowledge Lawrence Hall for his assistance in this program. Without him, it wouldn't have happened. and thank Grace Colucci for her support of our organization. I also want to acknowledge my co-chair, Jennifer Brown, who will now tell you more about our panelists and our moderator. Jennifer?
Thank you, Howard. It gives me great pleasure to introduce our panelists and our moderators today. So I'll start with our Lake County communities. We're going to start with Mayor and Safety Director Robert Fiala. He is the long-term resident of the city of Willoughby. He is also the founder and co-chair of Then Design Architecture. We also have the Mayor and Safety Director Dennis Morley for the city of Eastlake. He's also a long-term resident of the community, and he also holds leadership positions with the Lake County Managers and Mayors Association, Chamber of Commerce, and also on the Lake County Narcotics Board. We also have the Mayor and Safety Director for the city of Willowick, that's Mayor Richard Regovich. He is also a long-term resident of the community, and he also is a business owner of Regovich's Repair and Remodeling. We also have panelists from Ashtabula County, City Manager Jim Hockaday with the City of Conneaut. He also served in the capacity of working at the Center for Public Management and Regional Affairs, and he also was in Village Administration. So collectively, our panelists have over 55 years of government experience when you include their terms on City Council, on Planning Commissions, and on committees. And it's a coincidence that they all represent Lakeshore communities today, but they also represent different forms of local governance as well. They were invited to participate today because they exhibited extraordinary levels of collaboration for the betterment of their communities. And today we're going to learn how. And who knows collaboration better than our moderator today, Cuyahoga County Director of Regional Collaboration, Mrs. Michelle Pomerantz. Her mission every day is to foster and develop collaboration amongst public, private, and nonprofit organizations. As an educator, labor leader, and policy liaison, she's going to draw on her experience to ask those deliberate questions of our panelists today. So welcome, everybody. Michelle, you have the floor.
Thank you so much, Jennifer. I'd just like to thank Grace and Howard, Vibrant Neo, and Jennifer for this opportunity today. And I can tell from my few minutes with these leaders that this is going to be a very fun and great April Fool's Day opportunity to get a chance to know more about collaboration and some of the policy priorities for these mayors and leaders and their priorities. So I'm going to jump right in, since this is all about collaboration, and ask our panelists. Let's start with Mayor of Eastlake, Mayor Morley. If you could please to describe one of the most successful examples of collaboration, and specifically tell us a little bit more about some of the cost savings, efficiencies, and other improved services or benefits from this collaboration with your panelists or in some other capacity.
First of all, thank you all for inviting the three of us and Jim from Conneaut and the rest of the group. As you said, as you've met us this morning, you understand that we're an interesting group of mayors at our end of the western end of Lake County. There's one thing, and we talked about this, and again with the COVID, one of the biggest things the three of us are proud of, and as I am the president of the Lake County Mayors and Managers, I do need to throw a shout out for one of our biggest, obviously, collaborations through this pandemic is with the Mayors and Managers Group, the Lake County Health District, the Lake County Firefighters, the EMA, the Communications Office, Lake Health, the Cleveland Clinic, our police, Lake Tran, and our service workers for what they've been doing and what we've all accomplished, and the Lake County Commissioners of what we've accomplished from day one when we found out the pandemic. At the beginning of the pandemic, I got with the health district, Ron Graham, commissioner president at that time, John Hammercheck, and we had a meeting at that time in person with all of us when everyone was not aware of what this pandemic was going to do to us over the last year. So we've started that, and you know, our county, like I said before, out of the 88 counties, Lake County is the smallest county in the state, but we ranked 11th for giving out vaccines. And over the next few weeks, you'll see the super pods starting out at Lakeland Community College. They did 5,000 shots yesterday. We had one in our city a couple of weeks ago, had 1,000. We'll do the second shot here shortly. With Bob and Rich that I've worked with since they both have come into office, you know, Rich came in a little different in his first term than Bob and I did being elected, you know, when Mayor Bondi suddenly passed away. That's when I first sat down with Rich and talked about, you know, us working together. And then when Bob got elected, the same thing. Some of the things, again, and I'll let those guys talk about one of our biggest that we're proud of, and that includes Mayor Klo out of North Perry, is the special improvement district. As Jennifer said, we all have lakefront property owners. We formed that, the SID, with the 12 communities. We just picked our board a few days ago. We will start interacting with our residents here shortly to start getting them their loans that they can use to do the revetment on there. Also, you know, Rich brought up when we applied for the TLCI, we just had a Zoom meeting a couple days ago with NOACA and EDG that's handling that. We're looking forward to start getting our residents and our stakeholders involved in that. With that, also, Willoughby's been very helpful with our city. Our CBO had a very bad car accident in August, and he still is out. He comes in and out. Right now, he's starting to come back, and Bob has had their CBO and their departments work with us, you know, getting our inspections for our residents. With the TLCI, we've been sharing equipment. Bob Willoughby and Eastlake own the WPCC, the wastewater treatment plant, that we do things together all the time. Our road crews have been working together with Willowick, fixing some repairs. The equipment that Willowick doesn't have, we use. We let them use the equipment that we borrow from them. We interact our employees working together. And I can go on and on and on. So, you know, I won't take everything. I know Bob and Rich will have some things, and especially poking at me. But we're proud that we work together. And again, all of our communities, you know, Eastlake wasn't in the best financial position when I first took over mayor in 14. You know, we've turned the corner the last few years. But then we've started saving more money working together, the three of us. We do meet with sometimes with Wycliffe and Willoughby Hills. Also, we've been meeting quarterly with the mayors at this end of town in Wycliffe to try to, you know, look at ways to save money for each other too. So I'm just proud of the work that we've all done together.
So you talked a little bit about the idea of the need around the pandemic, which I think sometimes often sets people up, as Howard mentioned in his preview as well. When there's something that happens, usually a negative, that need sometimes drives collaboration. I'd like to know a little bit more, a little bit about Conneaut, some of the successes they've had, but also understand beyond just the need of cost efficiencies, how was the first step of collaboration, if you don't mind, Jim, kind of giving us a little bit of update on that, as well as some of the success stories in Conneaut.
Well, I think you did nail it right on the head there, that usually collaboration emanates from some kind of need. There's a desire to solve some kind of problem. It usually is something, I would always say, it's pragmatism and action oriented. So something wrong, we need to solve that problem. What's the best way to solve that problem? And ultimately it's working together. And then I would say the third part of that is it's sustained through relationships. So you know, you go in, you solve the problem, it works out well. You know, everybody puts in a best effort. Everybody's like, wow, this isn't so bad after all. And you build those relationships that then, you know, tend to sustain and create new future collaborations. So I'm kind of on here by myself out here in Ashtabula County. And my joke that I always tell is we ate all our friends. So we used to have a around us. It turned into the Village of Lakeville. In the 60s, the Village of Lakeville went bankrupt. It ended up being assigned by the courts via a court ordered annexation into the city of Conneaut itself. So kind of a little different. So our collaborations probably look a little different than what they're talking about over there in Lake County, where I'm not reaching across the aisle and holding hands with another city. We are 27 square miles unto ourselves. So we are an enormous land area municipality. So it's a little different. So our collaborations tend to look at either vertically up through various levels of government or across alternative levels of government. So a couple of the common ones is our school districts. Our school districts actually share the same boundary as the city. So they become an obvious collaborator. They have 5 or 6 facilities. We co-bid all of our paving. So when we do our street paving, we go to the schools and say, what parking lots are you doing? And we allow them to join. And what it does is it makes our bid packages for asphalt work, obviously much larger. Everybody gets better unit prices. It's kind of a win-win situation. It's worked out very well. We've done that since I've been here for the last 6 years. It saved everybody a lot of money. It saves we're the same taxpayers. We're representing the same people that are paying the same money for the services, whether it's a school district or a city. So that's one great example. We are endeavoring towards a more complicated one. We're doing a public-private partnership with our Chamber of Commerce, a Conneaut Foundation, which is a 501c3. There's a private entity known as Community Counseling, our courts, which is a separate agency led by Judge Nick Irochi. And we are rehabbing a building in our downtown, and each of us is taking a space within that building. So the city's kind of the lead in that, but it's a bunch of different agencies and we're all holding hands. We're saving a building that would otherwise have been demoed. And we're putting in a special purpose court that will have built in, amenities for recovery, usually mental health and drug addiction services. So it's kind of a newer project. I can go on and on. I have 100 different examples, but we do like to work together. And I'll give another need example. We had a massive snowstorm a couple years ago out here. Probably, I'm sure Lake County got some. We got about 50 inches in the first round of the storm and about another 2 feet in the next round of the storm. People talked a lot about Erie, Pennsylvania, but we got hit just as hard in that storm. We lost several of our trucks. The Ashfield County Garage of ODOT lost 14 of their vehicles in that storm just because it was so hard on them plowing the snow off. The state ended up loaning us some equipment and ultimately sold us that equipment at the end of that. So we've had a very special and good relationship with our ODOT district, which is different than Lake County's district. We've had a kind of unique relationship with them. And we also have the most state route lane miles within our municipality until you hit Mentor, Ohio in the 2-county area. Mentor's the only one with more state route than Conneaut. So we have 13,000 residents, they have 55. So it's a very different situation, and that need drives us to work together.
So I'm hearing a little bit of that idea of working with either the school district or the state or ODOT in order to, again, find ways for a need. So my next question is going to be, I'm going to give this one to the mayor and safety director of Willoughby, Mayor Fiala. Sometimes residents and elected officials sometimes worry that regionalism means giving up a sense of identity or control and independence. So I'd like to know if you agree. I know you work very closely with what I see as a very trusting relationship with your friends and neighboring cities. But do you agree that it can be worrisome, especially for a newly elected officials? And how can this worry become overcome to be encourage more communities to do the work together?
Yeah, that's a great question. And you're exactly right. There is this fear that, a community can lose its identity. But what I've found since my term in mayor, and especially with mayors Morley and Regovich, that working together, you can still keep your identity and your hometown spirit, if you will, and get things done. And we've accomplished far more together than we ever could have individually, I believe. And, to Jim's comment a second ago, the largest city in Mentor, our largest city in Lake County is Mentor at about 55,000. When you aggregate the cities of Willowick, Eastlake, and Willoughby, our population is much larger than that. So we have a much stronger voice now as three cities as opposed to any one of us individually. So first, collaboration works, it saves money. You can do it and still keep your own, you know, spirit alive. I mentioned a few moments ago that we have two high schools in our school district that contains all of our cities, Eastlake North and Willoughby South. I'm happy to tell you that Willoughby South won last year's football game, and the two mayors still owe me a lunch because of that. But you can still have your hometown feel, but still share resources. So it's just really getting the public comfortable with the fact that you won't lose your identity. You will, in fact, get better service as a result.
Mm-hmm. And so Mayor Regovich.
Mayor's Moreland Regovich, I expect to be paid up for that debt you owe me.
Well, it used to be 3 years we were waiting for him to pay a lunch, but we know how Bob works, so we're good.
So Mayor Regovich, your response to that. And again, I'm looking for the idea of how do you get to newer elected officials and maybe some that don't have as much of the joie de vivre or joy of life that you three seem to have. How do you find a way? Do you do this just by finding a relationship that you find trust or somebody you have something in common with? Or do you seek geographically to find partners? Can you speak a little bit about that?
Sure. I think it's a little bit of all that. When I first came on, as Mayor Morley said, I was taking over for a beloved mayor here for a long time and had to, have some big shoes to fill. My outlook was different. I felt that cities in the past, especially here in Lake County, were like an island. They all want to do their own thing. I went to a mayors and managers meeting. Mayor Morley probably said something off color to me. I gave it right back to him, and we were friends ever since. So, but that was the start of it. And then when Mayor Fiala came on, so geographically we happened to touch borders, but it's communication ultimately. Even with Jim right now with Conneaut, if I felt something here in Lake County could benefit the wine region out there, is huge. That transcends the county border. If we could collaborate on some one of those things, I would have no problem reaching out to Jim right now because of this forum. So these are the kind of things that pop up that give you that presence. And it's just kind of, when someone new comes on, you hope they feel the same. It really works better when you have two parties that really want to collaborate, but I think it's the way to go from moving forward. I think it's the way best to serve the most people, especially in planning. I know we don't do a very good job or haven't done a very good job. I think we're starting that way with the help of NOAACA and places like that to start planning our lakefront. Northeast Ohio notoriously doesn't have anywhere to go in the lakefront or anything that's developed. And boy, if we all develop the same thing, it's not special. So we develop that as a region, then we can have different features and the same people can enjoy those different features by moving through our communities. And those are the kind of things we have to have the bigger picture, something that lasts beyond us. You hope that our people that come in behind us have the same feel and have the same goals in mind. It's all what's good for the community, what's good for our people. We still keep our identity. We have different needs as a city, each city and community. And we can just, work hard to provide the best quality of life for the people that live in our community by providing these amenities. But we also, my job, I look at is to get the people to live here because we have this, we're close to this. So to put it in perspective, I have probably 14,500 people in Willowick and I'm 2.4 square miles. So Jim and I have the same amount of people and he has 24 square miles. So he has a lot more to take care of than I do. So we work close with the cities on small things, on big things. And it just happens we work out that way. But communication is key. Through the pandemic, we get together virtually. In the beginning of it was twice twice a week. Now it's once a week. Still, we make decisions or help try to make decisions as a county, as a group. So, and a good example, that was last summer. Who's going to have fireworks? Who's not going to have fireworks? Collectively, we decided we're going to cancel fireworks because if one community did it, it would be overrun with people, we thought. So then how do you control the crowd? How do you keep people distance? How do you do? So those are important to kind of plan those things out as a community. And that's just a small picture of what we look at.
So one thing I wanted to say, we talked a little bit about the need and the need. So with the recent federal legislation, the American Recovery Plan that was passed with direct funding for local and counties and communities, I'm wondering, have you all thought any differently considering there's going to be a big flux of funding? Do you think that will stop or inhibit collaboration, or do you think because along with those funds becomes a longer timeline, I think the funds don't need to be spent until 2024 and they come in two tranches. So my question is, have you thought about utilizing your money and your funds collaboratively because you have a little bit of the time and of course, based on the relationships here, the trust factor in trying to utilize the funds so that there's something more than the use of the one-time monies? And that question's open to any of you.
Well, I think we've talked about, Rich and I have talked about a little about buying a piece of equipment, a camera truck, again, with the wastewater treatment plant, Bob and I and our engineering group that Jennifer worked for CT, you know, we're always looking for things where we can split costs on, especially, you know, part of the contract for the wastewater treatment plant. We're still looking for that. And again, you know, it's like everything else when the state comes out or the federal government says you're going to get this money. So we don't have the money yet.
Right.
And so we don't know if there's going to be any parameters of what you can or can't. The funny one was with the first round of CARES Act money. We were told we had to have it spent by 12/31 of 20. We get an email on 12/31 and 20, hey, you can have another year. So no one in Lake County had any money left. I mean, so there's just so many
Cuyahoga things. County.
Yeah. So, yeah. But it depends on, you know, how that comes and we all meet, you know, because we're always just, you know, Bob and Rich and I are, when we're having bad, one of us is having a bad day, we do a three-way call and we let each other vent with each other. But yeah, we're going to continue regardless. We still, whether they give us an amount of money or not, we still want to be all fiscal responsible and use the money to the best of our abilities for all of us. And I will speak for the two of them because we all have the same thing moving forward. You know, Rich just got reelected last year. Bob and I are up for election this year. So, you know, we can probably hopefully continually have another 4 years to work with each other and continue to put things in place for the people after us, especially the Vine Street corridor with the TLCI. Obviously we know that's not a, hey, Vine Street's going to be fixed in a year. We're looking 10 years and ahead working with NOAC and the group that we gave the contract to. So there's a lot of things that can, that'll happen throughout the years, even when we're gone, I believe.
I also think that if we learn from the immediate past, like Howard said in the beginning, we had an economic downturn right after 2009. Yeah. Right. This is how this group started. And we have to learn from that. So when we have that influx of money, you know, that's just a bonus right now. But there's also many things as a city we put off for many years, especially capital improvements and those. Mm-hmm. So where we can use those is great, but we still have to plan long term, plan together. So that we can get the big things done over the long period of time, get that 10-year, 20-year plan going. And it's cheaper and easier to get grants. It's do those kind of things. So my buy-in from the city is a lot less than if we have three or four groups together, like on the Vine Street corridor. There's our three cities plus Lake Tran Bus, and we're able to now get more grant money and things of that nature. Because of how many people we represent.
And, you know, Michelle, I think another important part of this is all of us through the recession and then now through the pandemic are facing large, to Mayor Regovich's point, major capital costs. And some of the ones are life safety services. So, you know, I know in our city, we're facing the purchase of a $900,000 aerial truck. Well, we're already talking with our communities about, do we each one of us need one of those vehicles, or can we share one? Since we have mutual aid, we're all responding anyway. So, you know, our fire departments are having discussions about, we don't need multiple hazmat trucks. We don't need multiple aerial trucks. We need enough to provide adequate safety for our residents and all of our communities. And we're having those discussions now on who's going to buy what kinds of vehicles, and assuming that we're going to cooperate and collaborate with each other when they're being used.
Yeah, that's another great example. I'm going to go to a question from one of our people that have joined, Catherine Hexter. One of them is, have you institutionalized any of these collaborative efforts, number one, because it does seem a little informal when there's need and based on a trusting relationship. And number two, have any of you considered tax-based sharing agreements, which gets a lot more formal? So again, that question is for anyone who would like to kind of jump in on it. I think I see Jim. Jim's ready?
Yeah. I can jump in on those. The first one, yes, is the answer. So one of our things that has been really lean out here in Conneaut is we don't even have an economic development office or officer. One of our major shortfalls as a community is identified in a comprehensive plan that we completed in 2018 was that economic development capacity, the organizational capacity. Immediately after that, I sat down with our city port authority, the Conneaut Port Authority, as well as our Conneaut Foundation. And we signed a collaborative agreement for a period of 3 years. We're actually in our third year this year, in which we've supplemented that economic development agency through a shared contract service. So we have a written contract between the three agencies. So we each pay an equal share. We each have access to that agent and agency, and it's actually worked out very well. They were instrumental in us receiving a $19.5 million federal MARAD grant for our Deepwater Port this last year. Good ROI. can't complain.
Definitely a good ROI.
So as far as institutionalized tax sharing, you know, in my case where we're working intra agencies, you know, and even between sectors, no, that's not in the cards. Though we already kind of all municipalities already fundamentally do that through the sharing of their inside millage. Every municipal corporation has 10 mills of inside millage that is divvied up amongst those various agencies. So that's already done to an extent on every level and every municipal corporation running around.
Have any of the other municipal leaders done any tax-based sharing agreements? And I don't mean to throw that question out lightly. I know the ability for the Cleveland School District to tax share, not only with public schools, but also with charter schools, required state legislation and did not go easily. And I mean, that is a very small piece of it as compared to city-state tax-based sharing. So have you had any formal tax-based sharing agreements, or is it some, or why haven't you?
Well, one of the big things, I guess, is because, you know, the county and the auditor and the treasurer handle most of that. I mean, out of our, you know, the 100% that we pay income tax, and I always give this example, you know, the people in our city that pay the property taxes to our city, I mean, we get 9% of the tax. So the easy math is someone that pays $4,000, when they call me and go, I pay $4,000, I think my street should be plowed better. You know, out of that $4,000, the city gets $360 a year just for police and fire. Obviously, that's that. So I think there's just like, there's so many moving parts, you know, we'd have to have agreements between the school, all the other entities, between, you know, the sheriff's office, every entity, the school district, every entity that takes out of that, I think there's 8 or 9 different entities that take out of that tax money. It'd just be difficult. And that's when people ask us about doing abatements in our city. You know, all of us have a tax incentive that goes for wages you know, for the, you know, for income, the 2% compared to try to abate. Okay, so we get 9%. That's not really going to help people. And then we have to have the county agree to it. We have to have the schools agree to it. So I don't think any of us have really looked at it at all.
And again, to that point about collaboration, the closest I've been able to see it is the city of Shaker Heights. They had their own library, their school district, and their municipal districts, and they all needed some capital improvement. I'm not sure if they were successful at getting one shared tax base around it, but at least bringing the community together to help understand their individual needs and to also protect the identity, but also to move forward. I do think that formalization of that can be much more difficult. And I think for people that are not in government, it seems like it's something like, well, why not? It can be very difficult to take away someone's tax base when there's so much need, especially in Northeast Ohio, when our census numbers are showing that our region is not growing as much as it should. I'm gonna go to another question. Actually, it starts with a comment from Robert Brown around NOAACA and regionalism. So Robert Brown says, in my long past experience of NOAACA, regionalism too often meant that all of us in the region were expected to support each other's development plans. Cooperation is what I would think. Even when those plans expanded urban sprawl and continued drawing development and population out of the walkable urban core areas. Has anything, in your opinion, really changed with respect to the politics of sprawl in our region? And again, coming from Cuyahoga County, you're all in Lake County. I look to you to tell me what your experiences are with that. And if there's anybody else that would like to jump in and kind of address it.
You know, it's an interesting question because everybody here on this panel are really not even entering suburbs. We're outside mm-hmm. the suburbs. So we're to some extent in that discussion, we're the benefactor of our economic growth is driven to some extent by that sprawl. Now, given that, I can tell you to the second part of the question about, walkability and quality of life issues. I can say that East Lake, Willowick, and Willoughby have made a serious commitment to that just in our TLCI Vine Street Corridor program, where it's a deliberate attempt to make our communities more transit and pedestrian friendly environment. So we would like to mimic some of the amenities that you find in the urban cores in our outlying communities. But even given that, when you talk about some of the things you lose in the urban core, specifically the economic base, even internally every day, all mayors are to some extent in competition with each other for economic development. And, yep. But I can tell you, at least with the three of us, every time somebody's been pursuing another city's company or restaurant, we've talked to each other about it. Our first order of business is, we need to protect our cities. That's our job and our economic base. But should we fail to do that, we want to make sure that company lands in a place where we know they're going to be welcome and sustained.
Yep. Any other comments on that? I do understand, and especially again with the pandemic and so many of our employees working from home, this idea that's brewing in the state house and the nation of what it's going to look like post-pandemic of that tax base and where you live does not necessarily as linked to where you work. Any thoughts or ideas around that in a post-pandemic site? And will that impact not only, it might impact taxes, but will that impact collaboration?
We had a discussion yesterday about our Vine Street corridor and even traffic pattern alone, how traffic pattern has changed during times of the day because of possibly people that don't drive downtown or don't drive out to work. How does that look going forward when we do plan to develop these areas or to make them more business friendly, so to speak? So even the retailers have changed, and retail is a tough business right now, but bigger chains of food, they all want a pickup window now and drive through and those kind of things. Are we able to provide those? I know here in Willowick, it's a 1950s post-war bungalow We have Shoregate Shopping Center that was built in the 50s. It doesn't really fit with modern retail nowadays, but we are looking to change those where we can and take those improvements where we can to make the people that are here have those amenities and have the things that they want. So that's why we do focus on the lake, maybe more outdoor venues, walkability, just like Mayor Fiala said, those are important to everyone now. And you know, it may change, the pandemic may change the makeup of that. I don't know what downtown or inner cities are going to look like after this, you know, being my wife works downtown, but hasn't been down there very often since the pandemic. So it's kind of, you know, even when I promote my city, you know, I promote all the amenities of downtown Cleveland and how close we are to those.
Right.
So, yep. It's, you know, we're lucky to be where we're at. So it's kind of the Wild West right now, I think, and how that's going to work. But Mayor Fiala said, we want to promote our city and our tax base moving forward. And I have I look at, you know, even the SID, the Shoreline Improvement District or the Special Improvement District, we have all the communities on the lake in Lake County, plus Euclid and Cuyahoga County, because it makes sense. What's good for Euclid is also good for Willowick. What's good for Eastlake is also good for Willowick. So with that being said, we want to, you know, plan accordingly.
And I think there's some safety in planning a little bit now accordingly, because not only the risks that you have all gone and the trust that has come from coming out of the pandemic, but also perhaps some influx of some federal dollars to help you think of things in those terms and be able to think collectively. I just wanted to make one point. One of the viewers had mentioned Shaker has institutionalized the collaboration called Forward Together, which is a planning group, including the city schools and library. I've been a big proponent of you get power by sharing power. And I think that's one of the good things that I've been able to kind of see and use as a mantra with sharing opportunity and not saying power, so to speak. But Chris Thompson has a quote, and he's one of the gurus of collaboration. It says, collaboration should never be the goal, but the means to the goal. So my question around that has, and I can give plenty of examples, but I want to hear from you. When has collaboration not worked? And can you pinpoint an idea of when it didn't work and why? Because I know, especially on Zoom, meetings for the sake of meetings, collaboration for the sake of collaboration may be good in maintaining a relationship, but that's much different than collaborating with an end result. So can you tell me a little bit about when, and Mayor Fiala or Mayor Morley, Mayor Huckabee, Mayor Regovich, when hasn't it not worked for you and why?
Well, honestly, I don't think we've had any failures with trying to work together. You know, Bob was talking a little bit ago about them having to buy another aerial truck. When we, you know, were in our downturn here and didn't, we had an aerial truck because the trucks that we originally both had were bought in the same year, I think in 1989 or 88. And we ended up letting Willoughby store our ladder truck, use our ladder truck while they're trying to get some repairs. And then Rich just brought up now with our special improvement district that, you know, Euclid is also joined. They were at our last mayors and managers meeting with us that we're all working together with the SID also. So again, we've really not come to anyone out of the three of us at least and say, hey, can we do this? And say, no, I don't want to do that. That hasn't come up with us at all.
And I think the reason for that is that what we have learned, or at least what I've learned, is that the Western Lake County cities are so much alike, both in terms of their residential base, their housing stock, their industrial base, everything about them. We're so much aligned that it's very infrequent. It happens so infrequently when we actually are opposed to something rather than collaborating on something. And that's, I think, part of the reason why our fit is so comfortable is that our needs are almost identical. We face the same sets of challenges. Rich mentioned post-war bungalows. We have 4,000 of them in our community. Aging fire apparatus. You know, we all have that in our stations. So we just have similar needs, and we tend to focus on what they are, and then we align ourselves on the best way to solve them collectively. So, and I think to that, the fact that we get along with each other, the outcomes of, I can't think of one outcome that's been bad.
So that brings me up that idea of that cross county lines collaboration or regionalism approach. And again, that's with that shoreline district with the mayor of Euclid, correct?
Yes.
Yes.
Do you have any other examples of cross regional collaboration across the county lines or with other nonprofits or other alternative forms of government that you've been able to showcase?
I'll share one that actually is between Ashtabula and Lake County. And it doesn't have to do with city government. It has to do with a non-government organization. Our visitors bureaus are working together to create promote the Grand River Winery District, which straddles both Lake County.
Love that district.
And it's been, keep visiting, Michelle. It's been extremely successful. Both counties have benefited from it, the tourism. Yeah. So there's a case where this wasn't even a government authority. This was a non-government authority collaborating cross county borders to help each mm-hmm. other.
Well, and then the other thing that we were working on before the pandemic, and we've started talking about it again, we had 19 entities, and I don't have them all on the top of my head, that we were trying to get a trail around from the Chagrin River all the way from East Lake all the way to into Cuyahoga County. We've met with the Metro Parks, the watershed, you know, CT consultants, all of our engineers have been looking and helping us in ways to do that. And just many of the Metro Parks. And so, you know, we're looking to try to get that moving here in the future also. So, you know, it will go across many different cities and many different groups that are working together on these things.
Tourism is a really great area to begin collaboration because Grand River Valley Branding Initiative that was referenced earlier, that's a perfect example. And the first thing to recognize as tourism is a tourist from New York doesn't care where the Ashtabula County or the Lake County line is. They want to know where the next winery is maybe, but they don't care what side of the line it sits on. So being able to serve and being customer service oriented in the visitorship realm, you have to drop those concepts of border. And you do have to move past those negotiation items. I was going to share with you, Michelle, a belly flop we did have collaborate.
That's great. Yeah.
I got examples.
Me too.
We have a 66,000 square foot former manufacturing facility that sits on 3 acres. It's a brown field. We were working together with our school district on a shared space revitalization of that property, cleanup of that brown field, where it'd be their new school bus garage, it would be our public works garage, shared lunchroom, shared break room, so on and so forth. We even got a local government innovation fund grant to do the initial study. And ultimately, when it came down to it, the school district kind of backed away from it. They knew it was going to have to be a new investment for them. And financially, they just didn't feel like it was a good fit for them. Didn't mean we mm-hmm. collaborating. We still have quarterly board meetings, joint council and school board meetings each and every quarter. We still participate on a whole wide variety of other projects. It just means in that one particular instance, it didn't work out.
And that's one of the things I've seen with the idea. Cleveland is unique and it's under mayoral control of the school district, which makes it sometimes a little bit easier in terms of that collaboration, but it can be coming from the school district and working with government, both public servants, but there can be some just some boundaries that exist sometimes. So I think the effort, I'm sure, will continue to support future opportunities for collaboration around that and won't necessarily stop you. But again, I think that's the other part about regionalism is that Cuyahoga has 58 municipalities, and unless there's a specific topic or drive or need, as we've talked about earlier, sometimes it's hard to keep people focused and stay at the table for future opportunities. Again, I'll be interested in seeing how the counties and the cities use these big dollars they're coming to, and all of the nonprofits and agencies that are saying, hey, we know some good ways of how you can spend that. I think it is a nice time to reconsider the idea of that collaboration to in your instances, to help with some lakefront development, and even in Cuyahoga County and through the help of NOAACA, their proposal for lakefront access opportunities provides that tourism as a gateway to collaboration. I have a question that's come in from one of the viewers. If two cities are joining together to buy a camera truck and the unit gets damaged, would they share in repair costs? Are there MOUs in place for those types of things? Have you ever had any accidents happen when you're sharing equipment, materials, or things that taxpayers or voters come and complain about? And how do you handle
Rich
that?
Rich said he would just pay for everything. So,
did you send that question, Dennis?
Yeah, we did have we had an MOU with Willoughby with our fire vehicle. They ended up in the MOU when we went over there, it went on their insurance policy. We still covered what we needed on our insurance. They for any damage or any repairs when they had it, they, you know, took care of. And then when it came back, obviously if things were wrong, we'd fix them. But yeah, we had an MOU on that. Rich and I, we really haven't got into we've just been started the discussions on a camera truck or anything else. So again, we would put the MOUs in similar, especially when we got our law directors involved. Unfortunately, you know how that'll go, but we'll work through whatever we need to.
With specific pieces of equipment, that's actually very difficult to negotiate, because somebody ultimately has to own it. Somebody ultimately has to insure it. And camera trucks or jet trucks, you know, it can be $300,000-$400,000. These are not cheap pieces of equipment, and ultimately require specialized operators. So, you know, it's going on somebody's insurance. It's going, you know, so there has to be some kind of written arrangement that works. A good starting place for everybody is FEMA. You know, in order for you to be reimbursed for any FEMA crisis stuff, you have to have lists of all your equipment, their hourly rates, so on and so forth. So that's already a foundation that every community can have and say, okay, this is what it costs me when I field this piece of equipment. And our rule here in Ashville County, everybody entitled to come utilize any of our equipment as adjoining agencies. Here's the rate, here's the personnel. And we've asterisked the ones that say, okay, we'll loan you the piece of equipment, but it comes with our personnel too, because it's a highly specialized piece of equipment. It's not something you just go run a camera truck. I mean, the little robot's $150,000 in it. So, you know, that's the way we've handled it. Somebody asked me about Saybrook. I've never worked with Saybrook. They're pretty far away from us. But the Ashville County Metro Parks has facilities in Saybrook, and we loaned them our camera truck the other week to go inspect their Redbrook facility over there that's never been inspected. County doesn't have that piece of equipment. So we have sewer trucks, and they will travel. So we've worked with Geneva. We've worked with a bunch of different entities throughout our time here.
No, we're getting right. I have one final question, and then we're going to turn it over to Grace to close us out. But closing out on this, what's the best way for regional organizations to get the word out and encourage villages, townships, and cities to collaborate? So that's question number one. And then my final question is, when is this lunch happening, and can I come, and can it be at one of those wineries? I'll buy the first round.
No, Mayors Regovich and Morley owe the lunch, Michelle. So
don't. I won't let them off.
It can be at the wineries. We have a good relationship with Lake Tran Busing, so maybe we'll get a ride out there too.
That'd be great. So again, how do we communicate more about this except for maybe having some wine tour visits?
I think a forum like this is fantastic. Again, just to communicate is the key. You hear that a lot when everyone thinks of regionalization and collaboration. They think, oh, we're going to merge police departments, fire departments. Those are huge mountains to move. But if you can do it on a small level and work to that way someday, hopefully that's how this happens. It's open communication. It's talking with your neighbor, talking with, you know, now like someone like Jim. If we want to go out there and say, hey, what do you have in Conneaut? I obviously I'm going to ask for his camera truck now, so I don't have to buy one. But it's things like that and how it happens. I believe it's just being together, communicating all the time. So,
and I think the first step to what Rich is saying is that it's really about relationship building. And we were blessed because we just happened to meet each other and trust that we were honest and we all had the same end game in mind. And mm-hmm. that is a powerful motivator and a powerful a tool to provide to stimulate collaboration. I mean, it's trust, it's relationship building, it's focused on the right set of goals, and then it's just executing.
And I think that, and again, our group, our mayors and managers group with many different personalities and different groups, and even through elections last year, I mean, we all have stayed on course of working together, with all the cities. And again, with our meeting with the mayor from Euclid coming to our last meeting, and then after the meeting, them inviting us to go look at their shoreline and some things that they have done and some great things that Euclid has done over the years to get their shoreline done and things for their residents that we're all going to try to be looking at here over the next few years. That's what it is. It's always communication. It's checking the egos put it in the closet. And again, I'm proud to represent the mayors and managers of this county because we worked all so well together, just not the three of us, but all of us, including the commissioners, the health, just like I said in the beginning of this meeting, it's just amazing the things you can do if you all communicate and work together.
Yep. Okay. Well, what we've heard a lot about today are some concrete examples, some ideas of entryways with tourism, the impact of the pandemic and need. I want to thank you all, and I'll hand it back over to Grace Gallucci.
Thank you very much, Michelle. What a great discussion. I learned a great deal that I know I can take back to my work at NOAACA, and I hope you'll be able to do the same. I'd like to thank our panelists again, especially Mayor Fiala, who has been a longtime NOAACA board alternate. Our moderator, Michelle Pomerantz, who we work very closely with in terms of our NOAACA Cuyahoga County liaison. Thank you for their time and their insight. You are all doing a great job promoting collaboration and efficiency across your communities. And that promotion, of course, is coming from actual doing. So you've given us great examples of how we can also do that across all of the 12 counties of Vibrant NEO. And once again, I'd like to thank the project committee of Vibrant NEO, especially the co-chairs, Jennifer and Howard, and NOAACA staff, Lawrence Hall, who supports that committee, for their leadership and support in developing this panel. Thank you to the entire Vibrant NEO board for all of your work. I know that all of you are very busy, and I'm so grateful that you volunteer your time for such a meaningful effort. And thank you to the NOAACA External Engagement Division, Danielle Render and Gail Godick, who worked with the committee to arrange and market this event. So that helped to make it a success as well. And lastly, thank you to all of you who attended. We hope that if you've enjoyed it, you've learned something. Have a great day, have a great week, and last chance to make a snowman or throw some snowballs, I think. So take care.
Have a good one.
Bye, Grace.
Bye, everybody.
Thanks, everyone.